We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some shows drag. Some shows fly by. And by drag, I only mean I can barely speak, and my brain and my mouth are not in sync, and I make all kinds of dumb mistakes, and then people laugh at me, which is all right, but then I get upset at myself, which is not all right, and then it feels like the show takes forever because I am sucking at my job. This is not one of those nights, and it actually falls on a Thursday night into a Friday morning, which means the show is flying by. This always happens during football season. The shows fly by because we're not breathing. We're holding our breath the entire time. So the show is flying by. We're into a Friday morning. It's payday for us, so I hope you're on the same cycle. But regardless of that, it's an extended holiday weekend for a lot of people. Not us, but whatever. It's still our Friday. We will be here on Sunday night and Monday night, so into Monday morning and Tuesday morning. We're both working. It's a lot going on in sports right now, and we'd rather take those days off later in the year. Plus, if you've never heard me say this, this is really the key. I am actually having a friend visit for the weekend, which is cool, but generally I don't go anywhere on holidays until later in the year. And the commute in and out of New York City on holidays is amazing. It's so quiet on holiday mornings. I can get home 7-8 minutes faster. But the fact is there's no stress. There's no headache. New York City's like a ghost town on holiday mornings, which is amazing. And so I would rather trade a holiday commute when there's very few people around. And you can park wherever you want because the parking rules don't apply. For a day with the stress that generally accompanies commutes in and out of New York. Jay is a lot younger than me, and he's already getting gray hair from the commute in and out of New York. I'm getting a few more gray hairs popping up. I can see them. It's like every stressful commute, a gray hair just pops up on the top of my head.
Honestly, on the holidays, it's almost pleasant, the commute. Like, I would almost call it pleasant. Like, it's a nice drive.
It's a nice drive. Yeah. It's a Sunday stroll, if you will.
You get some city skyline views. It's nice. It's pleasant. It's pleasant.
No one's honking at you. Yeah. No one's running you over. Bikes aren't slamming into your car.
Exactly.
That's happened to me before. A scooter slammed into my car.
Definitely happens.
No one's throwing up on your car, you hope.
That happens, too.
Although, I guess that could happen on a holiday if people are out gallivanting and enjoying their weekend. That's why I do it. Why not? I'd rather have off around Christmas and New Year's, which are the two holidays I take later. So, yes, we are working Sunday and Monday. And we'll do the same that we've done for the last however many Memorial Days that I've been here. I guess that'd be number 11. We will ask you to send the names, even the photos, of those men and women that you would like to honor, either family members or friends. Maybe it's men or women that you served with specifically in our military, whether it be internationally, whether it be domestically, that gave their lives as a sacrifice for our country. That's what Memorial Day is all about. That's what the weekend is all about, honoring those that we've lost in service to our country. And so we ask you to send their names. We retweet them, to send their photos. We retweet them. We want to share. We want to be part of that. We want to memorialize them as well. So we'll do that on both Sunday night and Monday night because the audiences will be different. On holidays, we very often catch people who've never heard the show before or haven't heard it for a long time, didn't even know I was still alive or that the show still existed. We're still here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Friday to you. Happy holiday weekend to you. A lot of Americans on the roads and a lot of people flying, too. I was sharing this stat earlier. 11% more Americans are flying this Memorial Day weekend than last Memorial Day weekend. Oh, and here's the fun fact. Airfare is up 40% from a year ago.
Fun.
That'd be enough to make me stay home. That is enough to make me stay home. I break out in hives usually when I have to fly on holiday weekends. I don't love it. But if you're flying, be safe. And if you're driving, we are here. We're happy to keep you company. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, lots of reaction to our chubby bunny. The world championship won by Pat. He's a ringer. Can't quite call him a cheater, but he knew. He knew that he was going to have us dead to rights. He knew.
Oh, Amy, you gotta judge that one for me.
Jay, you gotta try again. Oh, Jay, you gotta try. Gross.
Let's go. That's a let's go. He's got about 8 marshmallows in his mouth. You can understand him perfectly.
And he still say, let's go. The best part about it, we actually re-aired it earlier tonight because we know it's a completely different audience. So it was just about 24 hours ago that we engaged in the Chubby Bunny World Championship live here on the air. And we re-aired it, the audio version of it, for our nighttime audience a few hours ago. And so you get a completely different cross-section of people who hadn't heard it before. The video, according to producer Jay, is fantastic. It is highly entertaining. I've not seen it. Only Jay has seen it. I've heard the audio now, which is enough to make me want to throw up again, actually. And yet we laughed a ton while we were re-airing it. So you can either go back and listen on the podcast or you can wait for the video to come out. We need pictures. It'll be available sometime this weekend, maybe, but by the time we get back on the air. So we'll let producer Jay put that together. Again, on Twitter or on Facebook, we're always excited to connect with you. Our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. I heard this stat last night. It's not the one that you think. The stat that you've seen and heard regurgitated over and over the last few days, ever since the Miami Heat smashed the Celtics and embarrassed the Celtics in game 3 of their Eastern Conference Finals, what have we heard? And it applied to the Nuggets and the Lakers too, so we heard it in a double whammy fashion. 150 times an NBA team has taken a 3-0 lead in a playoff series, and 150 times that team with a 3-0 lead has advanced to the next round. It's never happened that a team in an 0-3 hole has rallied to win the series. And that still is the case after Nuggets Lakers. But, did you know this? Of those, and you count the Celtics, it's now 151 teams that have fallen into an 0-3 hole, right? So they could soon become part of that overwhelming stat line, that overwhelming percentage, I mean, 100% of the time. Or they could be the first 16 to upset a one. Eventually it will happen. It did in March Madness. Now it's happened twice, actually. It's happened in hockey, and not that long ago, that an NHL team rallied from an 0-3 hole in a playoff series and went on to win. Get this. The Celtics are only the eighth team of the 151 ever to force a game 6. It's rare to even force a game 6. The team in the hole is either swept or out in game 5 the vast majority of the time. The Celtics are only the eighth team. These Celtics are only the eighth team ever to force a game 6. And I wouldn't say the pressure has completely shifted to the shoulders of the Miami Heat. But man, if they don't win in game 6, all bets are off. The Celtics know it. The Heat know it. The world knows it. This has turned into a different series. It's a different feel. Yeah, the Celtics still have work to do. Yeah, the Heat still have a formula that can win one more game for them. They've won in Boston. They've won in Miami. You'll hear Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, Bam Adebayo say, ain't no big thing. I'm paraphrasing. Still confident. Why would we lose confidence? We know what we have to do. But this looks a lot more like the regular season Heat. Meanwhile, the Celtics look a lot more like the team that had the second best record in the NBA. Interesting, too, if you watch last night's Game 5, it was essentially a draw in quarters 2, 3, and 4. The Heat outscored the Celtics by 2 points over the combined second, third, and fourth quarters. Now, fourth quarter had a lot of the reserves in. But still, they played him toe-to-toe, had a slight advantage. The first quarter is the one where they got popped in the mouth and could never fully recover.
Derek White into the corner, smart at the shot clock buzzer, misses the three, but Al Horford has the offensive rebound, misses the first put back, but he's got the offensive rebound again. It's shuttled out to the wing where Tatum is waiting for three.
Well, these boys want to go back to Miami.
Jaylen Brown, back Strus down, kick out Derek White, pretty good look at a three, got it. Not beating the Celtics if they're shooting like this. And by the way, these threes are open, wide open. It's funny that Derek White, one of the great shot blockers among guards, goes to that pump fake. Tatum right down the middle, throws it down hard with the right hand. Zeller got picked off, was not in a position to block the shot. Timeout, Eric Spoelstra.
He said, nah, we don't need that.
Everybody on their feet at the Garden. A spectacular 6-minute start here for Boston in Game 5. 3 seconds. Cross court, Tatum finds White. Steps to his right, takes the three and drills it at the buzzer. The perfect finish to the perfect quarter when one is facing elimination.
Sean Grady, Cedric Maxwell. What is he singing about going back to Miami?
Somebody's going to get my tickets on Sunday.
Except the game's on Saturday, so try not to tease people. On Celtics radio, they raced out to a 15-point advantage in the first quarter. It must have felt like the longest first quarter in Heat history. It took a long time.
We're sticking forks in you.
We don't stick forks in you in the first quarter, but the Heat were never fully able to climb out of that hole. They fell behind by 24. Saw them a couple of times surge. They never led in this game. Saw them a couple of times. Bam Adebayo had a stretch where he was scoring a few buckets inside. But once they got in that hole, they could never completely climb out. Oh, and Derek White made sure they did not climb out.
Tatum, deep on the left side against Max Strus. Dribbles him to the elbow. He exposes the ball. Highsmith knocked it away. Butler knocked it away, but it's saved to Horford. Kick out Derek White for three.
Boy, that dude been spot on.
Derek White.
He's making them pay.
Tatum steps to the corner. Shoulder into Strus. He's going to take a contested jumper and knock it down. And the Celtics have their largest lead of Game 5.
Too big. Too good. Too sweet.
Tatum drives, throws out to the wing. Derek White up fake, ducks the shoulder, gets to 10 feet, flip shot up and good. It's Derek White's night. Whew. 7 of 10, 5 of 7 from 3. He's got 19 points. He's the leading scorer in Game 5.
D.Y. was second team on defense this year for a reason. He's a big part of our team, our identity, things we try and do on the defensive end. He's a very smart basketball player on both ends. And his awareness, his instincts, they show tonight.
Jason Tatum praising Derek White, who's in that starting lineup. And yeah, the defense is something that they can always count on. But he just had 6 triples in Game 5. 24 points, was the leading scorer. And in addition to a bunch of wide open threes for the Celtics, they also had 27 points off the Miami turnovers. So the deal is they're playing defense. They're playing defense with the effort and the passion and the intensity and the sense of urgency that they did not have early in the series. According to Marcus Smart, well, this is the real Celtics.
They snuck up on us and got us. And, these last 2 games for sure, we definitely just wanted to turn it around. We wanted to go out and leave it on the court and, let the results fall where they may.
The obvious question is, why did it take 3 games for you guys to change the mentality when you say they snuck up on you, and why not 1 game or something?
That's the thing about sneaking up on somebody. They're not supposed to know you're coming. So, And that's what happened. We didn't know. We didn't see it, and they got us. So it wasn't like we were trying to have that mindset. It's just it's part of the game. It's part of life. It's part of the roller coaster of playing in the NBA at the highest level. You're going to have ups and you're going to have downs, but figuring out when you get down how to get back up, and that's what we've done.
One of our assistants put it in great perspective. The season's like 9 months long, and we just had a bad week. Sometimes you have a bad week at work.
True.
You know, we obviously didn't pick the best time to have a bad week, but we did, and we're sticking together and fighting like hell to keep it alive, and the guys are really coming together.
All right. I hear what Marcus Smart is saying. They snuck up on us, and that's the deal, is we didn't see it coming, but how? And really, it's water under the bridge. They put themselves in a 3-0 hole or an 0-3 hole, and I don't think it should have happened. They probably don't think it should have happened either, but it did, and now you've got no choice but to dig out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Joe Mazzulla saying, hey, we just had a bad week at work. I mean, I'll raise my hand. I have bad weeks at work sometimes. This group did too. But they're clearly focusing on the defense and the effort. And as you hear Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, this is actually, to me, critical. As they look at what's changed, as they look at their shift in attitude. Now, remember Jaylen Brown said that after game 3 in Miami, they got together and had essentially a face-to-face, a heart-to-heart, the whole team. We looked each other in the eyes. We talked about what it requires. We had accountability. This is not as much about the basketball. The Celtics are a better basketball team. We know that. Compare their records from the regular season. No secret there. The Celtics are a better basketball team. They're a deeper team. Gabe Vincent didn't play last night. Kyle Lowry had to start. But they haven't always had the attitude. They haven't always had the tenacity. And at times, the Miami Heat have had better chemistry. That's fairly obvious too. But here, Tatum and Brown, and you realize they're not talking about basketball as the key to getting back in this series. They're talking about the effort. They're talking about the compassion, the passion for the job, but the compassion for the guy on your left and guy on your right. They're talking about basic team concepts that really have nothing to do with being on the court.
You can see the true character of a person, of a team, when things aren't going well. And our ability to come together, figure things out, you know, when it's not necessarily looking good for us. It's unlike any team I've been on this year and last year. We got a room full of determined, tough guys that, you know, push come to shove. You know, you look to the left and the right and you believe that, you know, the guy next to you is going to do whatever it takes. And go down fighting if it don't work out.
Being together in moments of adversity, you know, staying on the same page and sticking with it, you know, doubling down on things that we need to do better, holding each other accountable has been the key. I think once we got ourselves together, we all looked each other in the eyes and saying like, hey, we're not going out like this. We represent the organization, but we also represent ourselves and our family. And obviously we haven't performed the way we felt like we needed to perform. So that game 4 was the start of the atonement. And then now we've been able to pick up off that game 5, and hopefully we can carry it on to game 6.
Character, heart, desire, effort, accountability, discipline, focus. Not one time did either Jason or Jaylen mention a basketball skill. Now, as they're talking about the difference, as they're talking about what's changed, they're talking about internal qualities. They're talking about caring. In fact, their words could apply to any group of people, could apply to any sport or any other activity. Yeah, it's interesting that what they've focused on, what they've paid attention to, is not the basketball part of it. It's about the communication. It's about being a team. Let's be fair, the Miami Heat were a better team the first 3 games. The Celtics maybe taking a page out of their book, huh? Coming up, Jimmy Butler, he's not worried. And one longtime NBA player, in fact, a former All-Star, gives Mike Malone yet another round of bulletin board material. Another reason to be salty for his two-time MVP. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
Just wait. He's going to be saying something like that when we give him the microphone the next time. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Things that have never happened before seem impossible until they happen. Three is airball. Sam Hauser will have to inbound it, and that will do it. The Boston Celtics win game four facing elimination. They win game five facing elimination, and the Celtics have taken their talents and the series back to South Beach. Game six on Saturday night. The final score, Boston 110, Miami 97.
Your back's against the wall, you don't have a choice. And so it builds a connection and it builds, an opportunity. And so, like I've said it all year, the guys in that locker room, they always stick together. And, when our backs are against the wall, we just have to continue that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Joe Mazzulla, head coach of the Boston Celtics. No one calling for him to be fired this morning, right? He's allowed to keep the job through the holiday weekend. Phew, what a relief. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. And Sean makes a good point. Until it's actually accomplished, lots of things seem impossible. I mean, who would have ever thought that I'd be capable of taking two dead squirrels out of my shed? I would have thought that was impossible. But here we are. I've added that to my list of things I thought I'd never do for myself. Jay was not expecting to hear that. And the look on your face.
Have they been removed?
Of course. They're out with the trash today. Bah, bah.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry again.
That's
traumatizing.
All right. I survived. Barely. I guess more appropriate analogy would be a 16 seed beating a one. And yes, it had never happened in decades and decades and so many attempts in March Madness. And it was a foregone conclusion the one would move on until the one did not. And now it's happened twice. The Celtics can say, why not us? Why can't we be the first? Before we move on to the Heat reaction and Jimmy Butler was eating popcorn because after a game five loss, I'd be eating popcorn too. Actually, I'd eat popcorn at any time.
Damn right.
Grant Williams, poor guy, just minding his own business, doing an interview with NBC Sports Boston, and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford come along and nearly injure him. They're congratulating him, but ow.
The energy was tremendous. We had to do our job to make sure we get it back here. That's number one goal. Take care of the next game, one game at a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we got.
Good job, Grant.
We got to make sure we take this one game at a time and make sure that we just make sure we stay together.
They hit him so hard on the backside that he couldn't even talk for a second.
Ouch. And make sure that we got.
Good job, Grant.
He has to do one of those.
Hurt. He was in pain.
Ouch. The surge of pain, searing pain up his A double curvy roads. And he's got one that you can understand why it would hurt. He uses that rear end for boxing out. He's got a good solid base. It was reverberating.
Ouch.
Ow. Listen to that noise. You know what other noise is one that you can equate with how much it hurts? Have you ever gotten a wet towel and snapped it?
Yes.
Oh, yes. When you do that and you actually get the tip of the towel to snap against the person that you're attacking and you hear it, it sounds like a whip.
So here's the second whip, which I believe was Al Horford.
Ouch.
Now here's the first one, which was Jaylen Brown, which sounds more like that whip.
At a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch.
Like it was on bare skin. It wasn't, but like it was on bare skin. Yeah, that noise actually equates to the pain. Like I can feel the pain just hearing that noise.
That's the one where he said ouch too.
Then he had to compose himself before he said something with a live microphone that he
can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we got
good job, Grant.
That's Al Horford. Oh, poor guy. Why are you taking I get it. It's a big win. No, it's a big win. There's a lot of energy there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jimmy Butler only took 10 shots last night. Only 10. So how do you get him going, Eric Spoelstra?
Our offense was disjointed a little bit. We weren't able to initiate our offense, get the ball where we needed it to go in spots where you could operate. If we can get Jimmy in his comfort zones and strength zones more consistently, he'll be just fine.
The last two games are not who we are. It just happened to be that way. And we stopped playing defense halfway because we didn't make shots that we want to make. But that's easy to correct. We just got to come out and play harder from jump. So, like I always say, it's going to be all smiles. We're going to keep it very, very, very consistent, knowing that we are going to win the next game.
He's very deliberate there at the end. It's going to be all smiles. We're going to be very consistent, knowing that we are going to win the next game. No doubts in Butler's mind. What about in Bam Adebayo's mind? Hey, this is typical of what the Heat did all season, right? They were up, and then they were down. Then they were up, then they were down.
Why would we lose confidence? When we started this journey, nobody believed in us. Everybody thought we was going to be out the first round. Everybody thought we was going to be out the second round. And now we're here one game away. So for us, man, we've always had confidence, and that's not going to go away.
Who cares about mood? Like, we have a gnarly group. So
gnarly.
I think so much of that is overrated. It's a competitive series. You always expect, things to be challenging in the conference finals. One game doesn't lead to the next game. Based on all the experience that we've had, it doesn't matter in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you lose by whatever. We beat them by whatever in game three. It just doesn't matter. It's about, collectively preparing and putting together, a great game. We'll play much better on Saturday. And that's all we just have to focus on right now.
We're a gnarly group. Gnarly, like trees, like a weathered tree that has, some knots or... You know
like,
what I'm saying?
Like a surfer term, like gnarly wave. Like, that was sick. That was gnarly.
Why would that apply to we're a gnarly group?
Because, I don't know. That's what I think he's going with that. Like, gnarly or meaning, like, tenacious, maybe.
But that's not what you said. You said gnarly refers to sick. Like, that was a really cool wave.
Yeah,
sick.
It's like a surf culture word.
See, this is what I'm thinking of. Right, but how would that apply to them, though?
Because they're gnarly. That's like what it means. Like that. I didn't say it.
But that's because that's not what he's talking about. I think gnarly refers to twisted trees and gnarly roots. Also informal. We're a gnarly group. Could refer to the group that's being challenged, right? So I don't know. I would go with twisted trees. We're a group of twisted trees. Gnarly roots.
We have a gnarly group, so I think so much of that is overrated.
What is the cinnamon? Oh my gosh, what is the synonym of gnarly? Gnarled, knobbed, knotted, knotty, crooked.
I like gnarled.
I'm telling you, gnarly comes from... So you referred to surfer slang, right?
Yeah.
It means the wave was difficult, dangerous, awesome. So it goes back to the tree roots. They're twisted, difficult, dangerous, but still awesome.
Those twisted trees.
The Miami Heat are twisted trees, baby. All right, really quickly. Gilbert Arenas was a guest on Old Man and the Three with J.J. Redick. It's his J.J.'s podcast. I guess he doesn't know that Mike Malone invites you invites you to say anything negative about his MVP, Nikola Jokic, because if you do, he turns it into a reason for them to carry a massive chip on their shoulder. It's fuel for Mike Malone's fire. Well, Gilbert Arenas was talking about the upcoming NBA Finals and how the NBA really doesn't want Nikola Jokic to be a champion, or I guess doesn't care if Nikola Jokic gets a title.
The NBA is not built off of that. They don't survive off that. They never have. Tim Duncan was four rings in, and when he went to go win his fifth one, we said, oh, this is boring. Okay. Nobody wants to see Tim Duncan in the Spurs in the championship. That's just facts. No matter how many rings they won, no one really cared about the Spurs like that. You know, Jokic can win his championship. No one's going to care. Let's just be honest. I'm sorry. He's not going to go from where he is right now to this super mega star because he's not doing anything kids want to see. It's the players, their personality. You know, Jokic is great, but he doesn't have it.
Wow. I mean, he does have two MVP awards, but I don't suppose that's enough for some people. What if he has a ring? Does then he have it? Do you think he gives a crap if he has the personality, the flair, the charisma, if he has a ring?
I don't, to be honest, be a dash at all.
Yeah, but your coach does. Your coach definitely does. Huh. Well, come on down, Gilbert Arenas. You're the next one to stoke the fire under Mike Malone. He's been salty lately.
Soft.
Not letting go.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
See what I'm saying? Jamal Murray won't either. They love it when you disrespect Nikola Jokic. So Gilbert Arenas says he's boring, doesn't have it. He's like a Tim Duncan. Let me tell you. I wouldn't mind being like a Tim Duncan with five rings and a Hall of Fame plaque. That'd be all right.
I think it'd be just okay. Not the worst way it could turn out in life.
And a lot of money.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, we said that someone's going to get thrown out, and he hasn't thrown him out yet. But Aaron Boone was out of that dugout in a shot. He's saying four. He's cost us four strikeouts so far. He's being held back by Chris Guccione, the crew chief. He had to be thrown out, right? Had to be. And Edward Moscoso, the home plate umpire, who has thrown him out before, walked all the way down to third base to get away from him.
I think he just got thrown out now.
Just now? We're going on for 5 minutes.
I know.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad
boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Aaron Boone actually says he doesn't want robot umpires. But he's not a big fan of the umpires that he's had for his Yankees game so far this season. Didn't even make it through the third inning, for heaven's sakes. What has gotten into him? Is he taking steroids? I'm kidding, of course. He's not taking any PEDs that we know of. Fourth time that he's been tossed in a game already this season. And of course, it's because he was arguing balls and strikes. And apparently was taunting this one particular umpire in the third inning, right? Because you're fired up in the third inning, that he felt like the umpire had already missed four different calls.
It's right in front of us.
But you're that fired up in the third inning that you feel like you have to go after an umpire? Boone's normally so mild-mannered. Seriously, did someone spike his punch? What has gotten into him? They've played 52 games, and he's already been tossed out four times. Generally, I got to be honest, his post-game press conferences, that one notwithstanding, where the Yankees were sucking at the end of last year, right? And he was trying to get through to them. It may have been a bit contrived.
It's right in front of us.
But even that was out of character. Why? Because Boone is kind of boring at times. And I think it's on purpose. He doesn't give the media a whole lot because he doesn't want to. He answers questions, but for heaven's sake.
Tomorrow's must win.
He's been tossed out in 8% of his games so far this year.
It's pretty remarkable.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so what's the issue, Aaron Boone?
I'm not advocating for the robo.
I think robo.
These guys do, for the most part, a great job and work really hard at it. And, you know, there's going to be, when you're playing for a lot, there's going to be some issues from time to time, simple as that. And you know, I definitely from a pitch count, I thought it hurt Clark a little bit, who I thought threw the ball really well against a tough lineup.
Talking about Clark Schmidt, who was the starter, and he was angry from the first inning because Clark had to throw too many pitches in Boone's estimation. So then by the third inning, he's got a fire lit under his rear end, similar to Grant Williams, apparently. There was some pain on his backside, and he just couldn't keep it to himself. So Boone had to be held back. Well, did he get a response from the umpire at least? For all of his efforts, did the umps at least respond?
Was there any response at all to you letting them know that there were that many missed calls? Did he tell you anything?
Yeah, just he wasn't going to deal with me.
I get that a lot. I'm not dealing with you today. I haven't had my coffee. I can't with you today. The umpire is like, just
get out of here.
Exactly. You know what? I have the power and I'm not interested. It's a Thursday.
It's the third inning.
We're going into a holiday weekend. It's the third inning. I can't take six more innings of this. Plus, if we go into extras, nope. I've had enough already. Wait, can you please just the Aaron Boone part of that? He's not going to deal with me today.
Yeah, just he wasn't going to deal with me.
That's fantastic. You could throw someone out for just not wanting to deal with him.
I could just imagine the umpire just as he's tossing him, he's going, nope, not today. Not today. With you today. And that's all he had to say to him.
Not today. And Boone said that he actually got mad too because the umpire walked away from him. They were fighting or arguing or whatever. They were jawing. Boone didn't like the fact that he got the umpire's back. The umpire walked away. And so he tried to go after him, had to be held back, and he's like, not today, man. I got a headache. Not today.
I will say, though, just from here in the New York area, and having Yankee fan friends, they all love when Boone gets ejected and shows emotion like this. They think it's the greatest thing ever. Because usually, like you're saying, his press conferences, he's always so plain and boring and not really doing anything. So when he shows emotion and gets fired up, they love it as Yankee fans.
Fantastic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What's funnier? Jameson Williams claiming he didn't know that he was breaking the NFL's gambling rules, or Aaron Boone getting tossed out for the fourth time?
He wasn't going to deal with me.
He's just not going to deal with me. We actually have mixed in everything from QB news to Dan Campbell talking about the Detroit Lions not believing the hype. Oh, it's so good. What did he say to us? He said, when we get back in the dumpers, we're in the dumpers again. Just that alone is enough to hear on a Friday morning.
You're back in the dumpers again.
You're back in the dumpers again. It's fantastic. To Jimmy Butler eating popcorn and telling us that they will win the next game. I mean, this is the show where you hear all the best audio. And then you hear people stuffing marshmallows into their cheeks and attempting to say chubby bunny. I'm not sure what more you could ask for here on the show. Any chance, Producer Jay, that we could throw together, we could cobble together a Boom moment of the week? Is that possible? I'm thinking Matthew Tkachuk, third game-winning goal, series-ending goal for the Florida Panthers, the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference as they reach their first Stanley Cup final since 1996 and will attempt to win their first Stanley Cup. Thumbs up or thumbs down? I got a half a thumb. He's a look on his face. I got to keep talking. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, go!
Come on, come on! Click, boom!
As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law. Boom!
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the line. It's a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And your fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the Boom Moment of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Boom!
Reinhardt in the circle. Shot! And it's fought off by Anderson. Barkov right circle. Down to the goal line. Kachuk in front of shot. He scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time.
It's so fun to be around, and like, it's just so fun being at the rink right now. And we got a few weeks left of this, and it's going to be, we talked about it in the room, going to be the best few weeks of our lives, hopefully. So something that we're all really excited for.
Matthew Kachuk, he is fire. And he's a lot like a Jimmy Butler. In fact, our guest earlier in the week, Dave Hyde of the South Florida Sun Sentinel, called him the Jimmy Butler of the Florida Panthers. But think about it. The overtime winner, going back to the series opener, quadruple overtime, 13 seconds left in the period. The overtime winner in game two. And then the series ender with 4 seconds left in regulation on a power play. And it was a really sweet movement too, through the crease. He's always there. He's always active. He's always making himself available. But after Sam Reinhardt had banged one off the post, or really clanged one off the post, if you will, there was Kachuk with the handle, the spin move in the right outside the crease, and bang, hammered it home. The Panthers await the winner of the Stars and Knights, of course. The Heat, Celtics, they still have business to settle. We are back here on Sunday night, so don't forget to tune in. If you're on the road, if you're out of your routine, we'll be hanging out with you. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.